All right, we're live, man. We're back. We are back. YGB.
No more talk show.
No, definitely not. We have definitely stepped up the game. We had to come back, man, because there is a lot to discuss.
Concerns
the heavyweight division. But first and foremost, I am Roberto Flack. My man, Coltrane, what is popping, my dude?
First of all, man, it's freezing cold up north. We got teased with some little warm weather, and now it's back in the 30s up this joint.
You got to get some cold front down here in a minute.
Yeah, I heard my man was in Disney like a couple weeks ago. He said it was a little chilly down there.
Yeah, bro. So it's
boxing is back.
Boxing is back, and there's a lot to discuss, man. I mean, listen, let's not beat around the bush, man. Obviously, this is our first show of 2020, brand new decade, so welcome us. But the one fight even going into the new year that we already were hearing about was the fight that took place this past weekend. We have a new WBC heavyweight champion of the world, Tyson Fury, as he dominates Deontay Wilder. There's a lot to discuss, man, but just right off the rip, man, I mean, we were kind of back and forth during the fight. So my pops, on a side note, the first fight party me and pops have had, like, I think in the last 20 years, man. So LA, man. And
that alone is dope, bro. Like, ain't nothing like watching a fight with Pop Duke. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's different. That's how we got into this. That's how we got into the game.
Yeah, man. I was actually telling him over the weekend, man. Like, he kind of like low key didn't know about it, but
less than the parents out there. Kids are always paying attention, you know.
Yes. You never know. Yeah. They absorb a lot. Trust us.
Yeah.
So yeah, man. Let me just get your 2 cents, man. As far as just like, I mean, we'll get into the nooks and crannies of like what may transpire after. But as far as just how you saw everything going down, as the fight progressed.
Well, you know, like you said, leading up to the fight, you know, most of us, you know, went against our better judgment with, you know, picking Wilder to win this fight by knockout. And I think that what happened was in the last fight was a bit fool's gold. You know, they always say, you know, the boxer, if you give him the test the second, second time or third time, the boxer is going to figure it out. You know, he's going to figure out the answer to the test and ace it. And that's what happened. You know, Fury had the book on Wilder. You know, Wilder is, you know, he's a really good fighter. You know, I don't want this to sound diminishing in any kind of way, but he's a guy that's one-dimensional. And Fury, he told everybody, nobody wanted to listen. He said, I'm going to crowd him. I'm going to press him. I'm going to walk him down, and I'm going to take the only thing he has is his right hand. And he took it away from him. You know, Wilder's not a guy like Triple G where he has power in both hands. The power comes from one place, and that's the right hand. You know, if you nullify that, which is not an easy thing to do because, listen, let's face it, and people probably forget this, Luis Ortiz was out boxing Wilder, you know, but he got caught and got knocked out, you know, giving this up too much, you know, allowing Wilder to have too much space. You know, everything's about spacing, you know. Wilder not being able to have that space to cock that right hand and Fury pressing, putting on the extra 30 pounds or what have you, leaning on him, pressing him. I saw a little Andre Ward, a little Bernard Hopkins, a little James Toney. I saw wrinkles of a lot of different dudes' fight games that know how to make a fight ugly, basically. And this is all boxing. This is all skills to do this. And when he crowded Fury and took his right hand away, he was putting his head in his chest and was leaning on him. And you saw Wilder, like, huffing and puffing really early in the fight. He got clipped. What was the third round that Fury dropped him? You know, and it was a good shot, beautiful shot. But I think you factor that in with, you know, it was a lot of wear and tear early on in the fight, so it was just like the perfect storm. I know people were saying that or, you know, Wilder conditioning was bad for the fight. So I look at that a little. I look at that a little differently from most. I looked at it as if the other guy brought the fatigue out of Wilder, and you got a 300-something-pound man leaning. Just think of an elephant leaning on you. You know, and I mean it as a term of endearment.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's leaning on him. He's draining him. And it just turned it into a whole different kind of fight. You know, Fury boxed the first fight. He realized that if I box this guy and give him space, I'm probably going to get knocked out. He did box. Let me rephrase that again, because I don't want people to get misconstrued what I'm saying. He boxed in this fight, too, but it was within six, like what I call 6 inches of space. And he boxed him in this booth, in this little box. And Wilder don't know how to fight inside. You know, it's not a knock. It's just, it is what it is. That's just a thing he don't do well. He don't box inside well. So you factor all those different things in. And, you know, we'll get into all the stuff about the trainer and the costume gate and all that. But listen, man, at the end of the day, man, this, and I've made a video earlier. You know this, Roberto. To all American fighters out there, you know, to decode what Fury was saying, he was like, yo, I came to Crunk Gym. Wink, wink. Y'all got all this stuff over here. Y'all don't utilize it properly, so I'm going to take advantage of it. I'm from across the pond. I'm going to come here and learn my craft and perfect it. And he said, like, I only used this style for a year. Now, granted, you have to have some boxing ability to do the things that he did, but he paid homage to Crunk Gym, which is a national boxing treasure. Roberto, you know, how many fighters here pay homage to Crunk Gym? You don't ever hear nobody talk about it. And, you know, it's still a lot of boxing heads, obviously. Case in point, Tony Harrison, you know, just recently this weekend with Tyson Fury. But he said he came to America basically to get better and get slicker, you know, and the rest is history, man.
Yeah, man, I mean – I think it's just kind of like you spoke about earlier. You know, we kind of went against the grain here because, you know, we at GYGB will always, almost always pick the boxer over the puncher. And you know, it's one of those situations, man, where we were just looking at Deontay Wilder as this knockout artist. And the irony is that we were like several fights removed from him losing like the majority of the rounds, whether it's the Luis Ortiz rematch, the first Tyson Fury fight, and then even with the Brazil fight, it ended in one round, so there's really nothing to gauge there. So going in, you know, it's expected that he's going to lose these rounds and that he's just going to land a shot. But Tyson Fury, like to your point, coming in 275, I don't think that helped Deontay Wilder. He gained weight too. I don't know if that helped him. And just a lot of the deficiencies that he had from the beginning anyway just showed up in the fight. He goes back in a straight line, no head movement. And Tyson Fury, you know, he knew that. Excuse me. And right from the beginning, man, he's showing the feints, throwing the jab. And there was a right hand that followed like early. And you could see it bothered Deontay Wilder, man. And look, let me say this, man. Deontay Wilder, even in the Bermaine Stiverne fight, the first fight, he got hurt in that fight. So it's not as if like we have seen we've never seen Wilder hurt. I think what really shocked people was, I mean, there were right hands that Wilder did land that really had no effect on Tyson Fury. Again, a 270-pound man who, again, was rolling a lot of these punches. So yeah. I think there were a lot of this is also, you know, we'll get, again, into, like, excuse gate, as we will call too, as it concerns maybe the mental state of Deontay Wilder as this fight progressed, knowing that it was going to be incredibly difficult for him to get that right hand off, because from what I saw early, Tyson Fury nullified that right hand and figured out it wasn't going to be present at any point in this fight, and it wasn't. He smothered Deontay Wilder, and to your point, Train, Wilder's never had an inside game, and there's just little subtle things that Fury did like through the course of the fight that where he was just landing these little body shots, just smothering him, clinching him. And people got to realize, like, that tires a fighter out. You know,
right. when you're doing
that, it really plays on the, you know, a fighter's, you know, stamina. And you start to look at Deontay Wilder's legs and you wonder, it's like, you know, we talk about, you know, what we were thinking was a ruptured ear was really a cut in his ear. I think the issue with his legs really had to do with the fact that Tyson Fury, man, was just like really applying a lot of pressure in the sense of making Deontay Wilder try to think and try to throw that right hand, but at the same time clinching and putting him on the ropes, getting his own shots in. And I think mentally he fatigued as well, and that can play from here on downward. And I just think it culminated in Wilder really just fighting essentially for his life, man. And, you know, we'll get to Mark Breland in a second, but there is no point in this fight where Deontay Wilder really had any shot, man. And there were even points where some of those right hands landed, and it was like, what, you know, without the type of force that we had seen prior, but that could add to the fatigue of it all. But we saw Deontay Wilder, again, not only dominated, but beat up, man. And I think that's really, like, kind of the eyebrow raising of this whole weekend, because you, like, all of us wouldn't be surprised if Tyson Fury just outboxed Deontay Wilder. But the fact that he stopped Deontay Wilder and essentially beat him up, I think is really the big, you know, the big storyline here, man. And, you know, we'll get into, you know, as far as what's going to transpire after. But, I mean, I'll throw it to you, man. The obvious talk, and nothing, and again, like, let's just say nothing has been made official as it concerns Mark Breland and team Deontay Wilder and whether or not he's going to continue with them. But I just want to get your take, Train, as far as just what's come after as it concerns, you know, Mark Breland, you know, essentially throwing in the towel, you know, Deontay Wilder not, you know, wanting to continue on. I think some people in his corner didn't want him to throw in the towel, but what's your take on that whole situation?
Really was a big stage, you know, and we talked about you know, different scenarios of big time fights off air, you and I, you know, and this was a big one. I mean, not scenario, we talked about what this stack up to as far as big fights, and we both was like, listen, we didn't even prepare for this being a big fight that it was. You know, I mean, this was a huge fight. So a lot of people, as far as like media outlets, celebrity people, everybody had an opinion on this fight. So because so many people that normally wouldn't pay attention, it makes the stage that much bigger and it makes the stakes that much higher. So right now, the emotions are all over the place. And Deontay Wilder was embarrassed. And a loss is a loss, right? But, you know, these guys, it's easy for us to say that, you know, sitting where we sit, these guys, they work their ass off, they train, they put in the work. And like you said, he didn't just lose, he got beat up. And the fight was stopped by his corner. Now, Deontay Wilder can say that he didn't want the fight to be stopped, but that's his prerogative. You know, who are we to disagree if he wants to go out on his shield? But we also know, you and I, Roberto, as people that watched this sport over 30 years and saw it all unfold, that you got to save the fighter from himself. That's the corner's job as well. You know, he's a 35-year-old fighter, still got fight left in him, still more stuff to do. You don't want to end his career in one night, you know, trying to prove some macho point, you know. So I just think that the emotions are all over the place. You got everybody talking about this fight. And all these guys are liars because they all say, well, I don't watch TV or I don't listen to – how can you not? Like, the world is nonstop going on in the palm of your hand. All you got to do is pull your phone up and you get an alert on your phone, not even looking for something. So, you know, I think he was, you know, just emotionally scorned and – he looking for somebody to blame. And unfortunately, in the sport of boxing, in a lot of sports, the coach or the trainer always get the blame when it's a loss. And they don't get hardly no credit when it's a win. And I just think that the corner, other people in that corner, didn't do Deontay, didn't do him any favor by throwing Mark Breland under the bus. I don't know who the guy was, Roberto. The one dude,
it was one of the trainers that was
one of the trainers,
one of the other guys, yeah.
Not just one of the trainers, he's second right. in command. Right. This guy. So he's kind of a big deal in this corner. And my bad for not knowing this guy's name, but he was basically like, and I'm paraphrasing here, he was like, well, I wouldn't have stopped the fight, you know, like, I don't, you let him go out, like, you don't, like, we win and lose as a team, you know, the proper appropriate thing would have been like, you know, Mark made the call, and that's what it is. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to say you agree with or disagree, but Mark made the call, and we all followed in pursuit, and we're going to get him back in the trilogy. So you got that going on, so then you got Deontay Wilder flipping and snapping out, saying no, and kind of showing Mark reeling up the night of the fight. And get it, like I said, his emotions were high. You can come down off emotions, but to your point, Roberto, I just hope that you don't get rid of a trainer like Mark Breland, who probably forgot more boxing than most, former Olympian. And let's not forget this part, Roberto. We talked about this. Deontay Wilder, if we went to a gym and told Mark Breland 10 years ago, hey, listen, this guy threshold is going to be a $15 million purse. He'll make some million-dollar payments, but his threshold is $15 million. We'll be like, well, where do we sign up at? You're like, for a guy that, with his limitations, and to be able to become world champion and make $15 million, but I got one better for you. He made $15 million in his last fight and going to clear like almost $40 for this fight.
25 guaranteed, right.
With 25 guaranteed. So let's calm down. Let's bring our emotions back. This is a guy that – this is who was the last two fighters to get this type of purpose? Not named Pacquiao or Mayweather. Even Canelo, right. No, Canelo got there.
Not even, yeah, yeah. I mean, Canelo didn't guarantee, but like two guys like that, yeah.
Like, so at the end of the day, Mark Breland, it's a loss. And whatever happened to the Styles make fights? Like, does that not exist no more? You lose. Everybody got a guy that just got their number. Mark has that Pacquiao number. What, are you going to fire Freddie Roach? I mean, come on. This is crazy.
Oh, trust me when I tell you, man. Like, if people think that this automatically makes, like, you know, people like to do the triangle theory and like, oh, well, Joshua would be Wilder now, like the brick. Man. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you touch on a great point. Styles do make fights, which again just adds to the irony that, you know, I think a lot of us looked into this fight like Fury just took it like he was just I'm going to just waste this away. And again, we're coming off the Andy Ruiz performance of Anthony against Anthony Joshua. So we're like, oh, here we go. But truth be told, man, Deontay Wilder, you know, is going to exercise his rematch clause. And I'll get into, like, you know, Excuseville. And you touch on some things. But, I mean, I just think the way Deontay Wilder is handling lost, man.
Yeah, it's just
very unlike the guy that you saw in these interviews, really like being the stand-up guy and coming from rock bottom and you know you look at it the way Anthony Joshua handled his loss, and I was a bit you know, I have my opinions on that too, but at the very least, man, he didn't say much, you know, and none of us really knew. Even going into the Andy Ruiz fight, the rematch, what Anthony Joshua we were going to have. But, you know, we're hearing everything from his costume that apparently weighed like 40 pounds. And he was talking about a blow to the back of the head. He was saying he had some injuries. And it's just, listen, in boxing, man, I will tell you, and a lot of you that have been following boxing for years know that these fighters never go in 100%. You know, there's ailments that these guys have for years. Floyd's had hand issues, like, since before he became Money Mae. A lot of these guys have elbow spurts, and it is what it is. But I just think Wilder was a guy that, unfortunately, or at least it seems, had a lot of guys around him parading, and I do not think they were prepared for what happened Saturday night. And that's not a shot to Mark Breland at all. Mark Breland, again, to Train's point, again, one of the most decorated amateurs the United States ever produced, Olympian, gold medalist, former world champion. But I just think with Deontay Wilder, again, at 34 years old, what you see is what you get. And I personally, getting a new trainer at this point, we're very big on, like, you know, if you want to be like a trainer, you know, switching trainers and things as such, man, like it can work, but very seldom does it become like really that big of a game changer this late in the game. You know, again, Wilder's 34 years old. He's not like 25, 26, or even somebody like this kid Ryan Garcia, who, again, I'm gonna just say, a kid who got with Canelo's team and Eddie Reynoso, and you're starting to see a little like a progression for a young kid, not at 34. And they're gonna do the rematch, apparently. And if Fury, of course, he's gonna do it. Like, why wouldn't he? And I just don't know what the ceiling looks like for Deontay Wilder, man. I mean, like, how do you see a third fight going, you know, if it happens this fall?
I think it'll be probably even worse. I think that, like I said, when we opened the show, like, he got all the answers to the test. You know, he's the more calculated fighter. You know, Wilder, and again, this is a knock to him. You know, you look at a guy like Trinidad, who was a great fighter, Hall of Fame, all that. But if you fight Bernard Hopkins 2 and 3 times, the same results is going to happen. Winky Wright, same thing. I even go to one recent, Jared Hurd and Julian Williams, where people think because Julian lost that he would lose to Jared Hurd. And I'm like, Julian's style is all wrong for Julian, Jared Hurd.
For Hurd, right.
Kind of similar crowd in them. You know, fighting inside with Hurd seemed to couldn't adjust and do well. But the same difference, I just think that because financially, that's the only reason why they're going to do a third fight, because the fight did so well. But anybody that knows anything about boxing knows that it's not going to be any different. What can Wilder do? He's going to boxing next time? He's going to use a jab to go? Which, these are none of the attributes that he possesses. And these aren't things that you could just learn at 35 years old. That don't mean he's a bum. It just mean that it is what it is.
It is what it is, right?
Really, though, why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you do it? You know, this is a layup for you at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think. I mean, he has a third fight with Wilder. Let's just say it's in the fall. He gets over that. I mean, him and Joshua is like, fight in the history of boxing.
Let me just say something about that, because I don't think people understand how big of a
world event.
People gonna think we're crazy. That fight will dwarf Pacquiao and Mayweather. I know that sounds crazy, but I don't think people don't understand how big boxing is over in that.
They can put that in one of those big stadiums, right? Those soccer stadiums, and fill seats and fill like 100,000. I guarantee you'll sell out.
You talking about, that might be the largest,
for the undisputed heavyweight championship of the world, might I add, if that becomes the case.
And two guys that have a really big fan base. Like, we used to joke about Anthony Joshua. He had like 10 fights and had like 6 million followers.
Right.
But no, all jokes aside, you know, that's the type of fight, right? Now, this is going to sound crazy, and this number I'm about to throw out there, that might be like a $500 million purse. Something crazy. If they got 30 apiece, those two, for that fight, which was, they did a good job promoting it, but nobody saw it being the event that it turned into. I mean, this thing was like, you couldn't find nowhere on TV they wasn't talking about this fight. Now, you're talking about that to like the 130th power between Joshua and Fury, like you said, we don't even have a place in America they could host it at, because most of our venues only sit like, what, the MGM, what is it, 16,000 people?
At max capacity, Staples? I think 20,000.
What, you gonna have it at the Staples Center? which only would sit like 40,000-50,000 people. Come on,
they'd have to have it. They'd have to have it at Jerry's, you know, Jerry World, or
even that might not be big enough. Crazy as that's.
Yeah, I know. I can't think. I mean, yeah, it's, and that's the crazy thing, man. There isn't a fight right now in the United States between whatever. I mean, cool. It doesn't matter who it is. Those two guys, if it becomes the fight, that's the biggest fight in British boxing history. But I guess if you do the how much they would make there in relation to, like, you know, you might have to be, you know,
I'm telling you,
picking through the dollars and everything, man, because that would be a massive, massive fight. And listen, to argue in comparison to Mayweather Pacquiao, those guys, granted, Fury would be still 32, and Joshua's only like, what, 27, 28, maybe hitting 30? You're still relatively young, you know? It's not
You wait and do that fight. Because people's asking, when is that fight going to happen? I said, you don't need to rush that fight. You can do that next summer.
Next summer, right. Like, yeah, this time, next summer. Or something, yeah, like next spring.
That's
next
money summer, in the right? bank right there for you. Like, it's...
Yeah,
and the bigger the pot will be for that.
Yeah, man. One thing I wanted to touch on, man, and I guess, like, you know, before we wrap up, and I guess it'll segue into
this weekend.
Well, we do have a fight this weekend.
Yeah, I know.
Mikey Garcia and Jesse Vargas, which it's like, again, kind of.
Mikey got the weirdest career, bro. Like, it's.
I'm hearing stuff about Devin Haney, and I don't know. But I think one of the obvious things we've noticed, and again, the casuals wouldn't have noticed this, but us boxing fans that are kind of like understanding of the climate as it concerns different promoters, networks, and things as such. I mean, one of the things that was a backdrop to this whole event was the fact that PBC and Top Rank got together and made a massive event, man. I mean, listen, I don't think there's anybody that you didn't talk to between that week that wasn't talking about this fight or wasn't, you know, in some fashion, you know, seeing it in some capacity. And even leading to that weekend, the college basketball games, they had, like, you know, order the pay-per-view, the ones that were on Fox and the ones that were on ESPN. So I think what the good that came out of this is that I think this event did very well. I want to see what the pay-per-view numbers are, but I think the business is open now for Top Rank and ESPN and Fox and the PBC and everybody involved, because we all said, man, like, when there's money to be made, everybody breaks bread. And listen, as we're getting on the air, man, we'll wrap up with this. You know, boxing is a very you get thrown curveballs sometimes, man. And, you know, as we were getting on, man, some news is surfacing. And again, like, don't quote us. This could be all hearsay. You're listening, man.
Yeah.
You know, Errol Spence, we know, all of us know what happened. It's obviously a blessing to see that the guy is walking and everything's good for the most part. But I can't help but, you know, see that, you know, in these interviews during this weekend, man, like, I don't think everything is 100% yet. Okay. And, you know, we want to see Crawford and Spence.
Right.
I just don't think that's in the cards right now, but there are rumblings. Okay, Terrence Crawford has needed a fight. Okay,
no doubt about it.
Hey, there has been talks now, apparently, that a Manny Pacquiao Terrence Crawford fight may take place. I don't know. Like, that's just words, things we're hearing. But it comes back to this weekend. It's pretty clear that ESPN and Fox have no problems working with each other. Matter of fact, much of the coverage that was done over the weekend, and even prior, the lead-ups, had a lot of ESPN and Fox people working together. Even Max Kellerman was on the Fox show with this guy, Marcellus Wallace.
Right. I was going to say, even leading up to the fight, they did a great job at Kroll's commentary.
Yeah.
Which is, these shows are massive shows, Max. Whether you like them or you don't, these are the sports nuts, Good Morning of America type shows in the sports world. Like, they drive the needle. The First Takes, the show with Skip Bayless and my man Sharp. These shows are huge. They're massive. All week, they were talking about the fight. Even now, they had guys like Bertle coming on the show to give commentary. I can't recall the last time I saw something like this where you got some massive coverage. So this is the perfect segue to your point to do a Pacquiao Crawford or a Crawford Spence if Spence got all his faculties in order. You know, so, you know, it is what it is.
So, I know. Yeah, I mean, listen, a Manny Pacquiao, Terrence Crawford fighting with ESPN and Fox and the PBC and Top Rank co-promoting it. I mean, it's two stories because it's like I really wonder what's going on with Errol Spence because
nobody's talking about it. He's not. That's how you know it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe. I think all of us collectively believe that Bob Arum and Al Haymon have spoken about Crawford Spence. I think that the fact that this fight got made, I think that fight had been on the table. And
yeah.
You can't think of any a bigger fight as far as that has some commercial appeal that they can really get.
I'm wrapping up anyway. Go ahead.
But, you know, you think now what a fight like Terrence Crawford, Manny Pacquiao and Terrence Crawford could be, man. That is a fight that, number one, we would never expect, but does it get made? How do they work that out, man? That's a lot of money to dish out. But you got to think Fox and ESPN would be all over that, man. So did I lose your train? I think I lost train. All right, well, we're going to wrap up, man. So, yeah, we're back, man. You know, we had some technical difficulties in the past couple of months, but, you know, we are back. We appreciate your patience. But that's pretty much it, man. Let us know what you think about Wilder Fury. What happens in the rematch? I'll be quite honest, man. I really think it's going to be much of the same. 270-pound guy who's going to give you looks and jabs and not give you really much of any real estate to throw that right hand. And I think Deontay Wilder really has to come to grips with, you know, what transpired. And can that all be corrected in 6 to 9 months? I don't know. So any case, man, appreciate it. Follow us at Garage Grill Boxing on Instagram, on Facebook, facebook.com/GYG Boxing, man. So until next time, we are out. Peace.